Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And you can still join us. Call in, 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Or hit us up on our Twitch channel, Wikicuriosity Media. Hit us up on our live stream right now. You know, you can message us in there. We will either message you back or hit you up on air. You can also follow us on blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosityMedia. That's where you can find us. Hit us up on our Facebook pages, both Behind the Screen Radio Show and Wikicuriosity Media. Give us a like, share, and follow. That way you are kept up to date on everything going on in our world. Also, you know, share the page to all your friends so that they can be caught up and they can tune in and listen up and all that good stuff. Follow us on YouTube at Wikicuriosity Media. Hit us up on TikTok at Wicked_Angel. And check out our website, www.wikicuriosity.com/wcmedia.com, something like that. It's been a while. It's on our page. Go check it out. It's on all of our Facebook pages. Go check it out. All of our archive shows can be found on either blogtalkradio.com/wikicuriositymedia or on iTunes at Wicked Curiosity Media. Just, you know, find the show that you're looking for. Find the date of the episode, and there it'll be. Okay. We are back on the air, finally, after almost a month of pretty much unplanned hiatus. There were a lot of things going on this month that I don't think we planned to be on hiatus for.
No.
I mean, there were a lot of plans for this month, but I didn't think we would take that long of hiatus because I think the last time we broadcasted was 1st of June, and it's almost an entire month later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went on vacation for a week, essentially a week and a half, honestly, from the 13th, hold on, let me tell you, it was before that, I was on vacation from the 11th through the 21st, so yeah, 10 days I was on vacation, spent a week of that in Oklahoma at Miss B. May's place, you know, hanging out with her and seeing the family and stuff like that. So, beautiful place, you know, a lot of open land, a lot of, parks and lakes and, you know, outdoorsy type stuff. It's absolutely gorgeous. Hated the weather. It was hot. It was muggy. It was kind of gross.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with Oklahoma. And North Carolina was the same way when I was there. But Oklahoma has just an insane amount of flies, like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would walk outside because we stayed with her, we stayed with Misty May for, you know, a few days. I would walk outside and just be inundated with 15 to 20 flies just everywhere landing on you. And I wouldn't stay out for long because I'd go out to, you know, smoke a cigarette or whatever, be out there for, you know, maybe 5 minutes. And in that time, I swear I swatted away probably 15 flies. Or swatted at the flies 15 damn times.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, it's just unbelievable. Like, and I can't stand flies. They're gross. They're nasty. Like, if a fly lands on my food, I'm done. Like that part of the food is gone. I will not eat it. And, like, I can't stand flies because they're gross. Every time one lands on me, I feel like I have to take a shower. I understand that they're a necessary part of the ecosystem and all that, but when you have 20 of them just swarming you like mosquitoes, like, I didn't get bit once by a mosquito while I was there.
Hmm.
I haven't gotten bit by a mosquito at all this year. You know, knock on wood. But just, oh my God, the insane amount of flies and the spiders. So, God. So, she lives in a little two-bedroom apartment type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bedrooms is full of all of her stuff because she just got moved in a year ago. So we all had air mattresses, and, you know, there's six of us. And one air mattress was in her room, which is where one of the kids slept. The other one was in the kitchen, which is very tiny. Like, I could stand in the middle of the kitchen, outstretch my arms, and touch both walls. Yeah, it's that tiny. You have the stove, the sink, counter, fridge, and that's it. That's all you've got, which is fine for, you know, one person. It doesn't have to be a mansion. And then we had the big air mattress in the living room for Miss Angel and I, which was in and of itself a whole nother task. So, bought an air mattress before we left. It was a queen size. Okay? Queen size. It was on clearance. And it was one of those, you know, self-blowing up ones. Had the pump on the inside, you know, came with the pump attached.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is cool. You know, it wasn't a bad price, $75 for it, which is actually really good for a queen-size blow-up mattress with a built-in pump. You've been to my house.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the height of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to put another mattress on top of my bed, that's how tall this fucker was. Like, it almost came up to my waist. This thing was absolutely huge. Like, most air mattresses, when they say queen, you cannot put a queen-fitted sheet on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to go all the way over.
Yeah.
We brought a regular queen sheet with us to put, you know, as a bottom. Not the fitted, like the regular one.
Mm-hmm.
And it fit perfectly. It only had about, you know, maybe an inch or two overhang on either side. This thing was fucking huge. In the middle of the living room. took up the entire living room. And then the girls slept on a full-size built-in pump that Ms. D. May had bought that barely fit in the entryway between the kitchen and the living room and, like, backed up to the back door. The problem is it never held air. So, yeah, by the end of the morning, the girls were on the floor. But anyway, I digress. So one night, I think it was the last night we were there, the second to the last night we were there, the girls are getting ready to lay down, and all of a sudden they look at the back door, which is where the mattress is almost, you know, pushed up against, and they started freaking out. There was a spider that was probably the size of a 50-cent piece. Not that big.
I think our producer is telling me about this.
Yeah. So I'm over there with trying to fucking hit it with my flip-flop. I'm not catching it. He comes over, grabs the flip-flop, and just starts beating the fuck out the door. Okay? Finally kills this fucker. Not more than 2 minutes later, in comes his buddy. Same size, same type. And we're just like, what the fuck? You know? Because we're getting inundated with flies and June bugs and every other kind of flying insect outside. And now we've got gigantic-ass fucking spiders on the inside. Like, I was like, I'm done. We're going home. Like, I was done with Oklahoma at that point. And then the drive. God, I'm never making that drive again. That drive was awful. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I. So we did, going there, we did freeway half the way and back roads the other half. Right? Because I'm not a big fan of the freeway, especially in her van. It took us probably about 16 hours to get there, which it would have taken us on the freeway anyway. Of course, on the way, you know, on the way in, we got rerouted through Nashville because of traffic and accidents, and rerouted through Memphis because of the same thing. So that was fun. And then we had to, you know, stop every hour because somebody had to pee because they can't all pee at the same time.
Never.
No.
Yeah, no. You know how I get on road trips. I don't stop for nothing unless I... Absolutely, yeah. Like if it hurts.
Yeah.
Like I don't like stopping. Like normally when I drive down there, thing says 8 hours, 8.5 hours, depending on traffic. Me not stopping and only stopping once for gas, I get there in about 7 hours, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless Cincinnati's having issues, then about 8. But yeah, I don't like road trips. I don't like driving them. I don't like riding them.
No.
I don't like them. They suck.
If I'm by myself, like...
I kind of like them better by myself because it's like I'm very creative. I'm a child. So it's like a quest. I'm going to get into a quest. Or like I'm in Star Wars. I'm just going through the galaxy in hyperspace. But unfortunately, it's not the case. But... Maybe one day.
It makes the day better. Makes the trip better.
But I mean, yeah, by myself, I might, you know, flip on cruise control and set the hyperdrive like it's cruise control. And I'm like, woo-choo. And I sit there and I just pew-pew. Rebel.
Look, if you're Star Wars fan and you don't do that on road trips, Star Wars fan. Pew, 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 get out of my way. Pew, 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 pew. Gotcha.
Turn on the afterburner.
Walk as spoils in attack position.
Accidentally pops open the trunk.
Poink. Side doors come open. 70-mile-an-hour winds going through the damn cabin.
Oh, man.
But no, I don't. If I'm on a road trip by myself, I don't stop. Like I don't eat. I barely drink. I don't stop. I feel like crap when I get there, and I need to sleep, and I need to drink. I mean, I'll have my coffee, obviously, and I'll drink some water and stuff like that. But I purposely dehydrate myself and starve myself so that I don't have to pee, don't have to shit, don't have to stop unless I need gas.
About three quarters of the way through a road trip, I'm feeling shitty. I'm just like, ugh, this is the worst idea ever. Whoever thought of driving this? And then when I get there, I'm like, okay, I got to do this again in like a month or a week.
Yeah.
I was like, this wasn't too bad. I could do this again. But somehow
again,
on the drive,
like, what did I do?
On the drive back up here, when I get home, I don't ever get that feeling. I could go another 8 hours, I feel like, sometimes. Would I do that? No.
No.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it depends on my mood and
so,
the amount of sleep I get beforehand.
Yeah. So coming back, I was like, let's try all back roads. So going there, it said 12 hours, took us, 15 or 16, an extra 3 hours. Because we went off, you know, but as soon as we hit Arkansas, we went back roads. We went back roads the whole way home. We left there at 5 o'clock in the morning, which had been 6 o'clock in the morning here.
Mm-hmm.
We did not get home until midnight. Some of these back roads, like, we're going up through mountains and stuff. And I'm not a big fan of mountains. And, you know, we're going down these mountain roads and sharp S-turns and chicanes and shit like that. And I'm just like, no, I'm okay. We're not doing this ever again. You know, because it's 11 o'clock at night in the back roads of Tennessee, in the mountains, with very little guardrails and no lights.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not with a car full of kids and extra weight from food that Miss D May had given us.
Yeah.
So I'm not about to take these turns at, you know, 40, 45 miles an hour. I'm taking these turns at 25. I'm like, I am not losing the rear end of this van down that hill. I'm sorry. So, and I'm an anxious driver anyway when it comes to, like, the freeway. I'm an anxious driver when I'm driving her and all the kids in the car. When I'm by myself, I'm pretty much fine. But if I have the van, I don't know what it is. There's something about the van that makes me a nervous driver.
I don't know. I get like that in certain cars. Like, our truck doesn't really do that all too much. But if I'm driving someone else's car or a car that I'm driving for the first time, I get anxious and like, this is gross. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
If somebody else can drive, I'm good.
Like my car, I have no problems. You know, I'll drive normal.
Oh yeah, you know? I zip around and move around in my car flawlessly. You would think I'm an F1 driver.
Oh,
I get
in
someone else's car, and I turn into a grandma.
Pretty much. Yeah. And you'd think I'd be used to the van, but I'm not used to long trips in the van, if that makes any sense. You know? Like, if it would have just been me and Miss Angel going to Oklahoma, we would have made it in 12 hours, because I would have taken freeway the whole way. So I would have been fine in my little car. But with all the kids in the car and the van, it's front-wheel drive, and she's got a big ass end. For some reason, I'm always nervous that back end is going to get away from me. I don't know what it is. I feel like that ass end is going to get away from me. So.
Sorry, I'm texting the producer about D&D stuff in the middle of a show.
He's in the middle of work. He should be working right now. He's at
people
work.
The people don't got to know that.
Just like they don't have to know about the tote.
Yep.
We're not gonna talk about the tote.
Nope. So, I kind of had a vacation of sorts. if you can call it that. I had friends come up from
okay.
West Virginia, where I come from. It was awesome. You know, I had my best friend since kindergarten come up, and then a couple other buddies that I'm good friends with, they came up, and we went to a festival up here called Grid Life. It's like a music festival / car festival. So for those of you who aren't aware, I'm a big fan of this thing called Formula Drift. It's professional drifting. I've shown you some clips from it and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But these drivers, the Formula Drift drivers, do other events like this Grid Life event. And so a lot of them were there. I recognized a lot of them, got pictures of a lot of them, got signed posters by my three favorite ones of all time.
Right on.
One of them was a YouTuber at first. He was like a YouTuber that I watched, and then he turned into a Formula Drift driver. So that was really cool getting to see him. I have a painting of one of his cars that I did when I was like 13. It's pretty cool. And then I got probably the coolest souvenir, and the people won't get to see it, but I'll show you because I did this to the producer and he got a good kick out of it. So 1 second.
Okay. Oh, that is awesome. That is probably one of the best souvenirs ever.
It's a used drift tire.
That's what I figured it was. That is... Do you know what car it came off of?
I sure do.
That's awesome.
Yep, I know what driver it was, what car it was. Former Formula Drift champion, too, Michael Essa. He drives a BMW, a really nice-looking BMW, too, but... Funny story behind this beauty right here. We just got done watching the guys drift and stuff on this big course. And we walked up to the booth, the FCP Euro booth. It's the brand he's sponsored by. And we walk up to the booth and we see these tires with free written on the side of them. We're like, well, that's awfully peculiar. Why do these tires have free written on the side of them? And so we're standing there gawking at them, and one of the guys at the booth goes, you guys want a free tire? And I start looking around at all my buddies like, we can't carry a tire. Like, we got other stuff we got to do today. So my beloved friend Carson goes, Alex, if you carry all of my shit, I will carry this tire for you back to your car. Well, if I don't got to carry it, it's free, then why not? So, you know, I take his stuff, you know, just like a lawn chair and like a bag, like a souvenir bag thing. And he picks up a tire, and we were at the booth, and they were giving out like free stuff, like sunglasses, motor oil saver, just different stuff for cars and stuff. Like a sample bag. So I pick up a bunch of shit, and then I sling the bag over my shoulder. He's like, get me a bag, because he's holding my tire. I'm like, all right. So I go back, get another bag full of shit, sling it over my shoulder. We're walking back to my car, and I get to thinking, oh, shoot, is that going to fit in my trunk? Like, I got a lot of trunk space.
Yeah.
But I got to fit their lawn chairs in my trunk, too. So I said, all right, guys, first things first, I'm putting the tire in the trunk. Put the tire in the trunk, and then we had to lay my seats down so I can get their lawn chairs in there, and then we just all start throwing shit in the back of my car. So we're sitting there just taking a breather, you know. We're like, all right, this is cool. We're not done for the day. This is like 4 o'clock. Like, we're not done. We still have another like 4 hours to do stuff. Carson goes, I kind of want a tire. I'm like, Carson, if you can find one, go get one. But it's not going in my car. I can't fit it. Like, mine barely fits. And so my buddy Peyton brought his car. And so he was like, if I can get Peyton to take it, then I'm going to take it. He goes and gets a tire without asking Peyton about it. He goes and gets a tire. But he gets his signed by a bunch of drivers and stuff. It's pretty cool, but... You know, throws it in the back of Peyton's car. have a dandy old time. It's a really fun festival. We, first day we get there, long ass line for just getting in. And it's not a people line, it's a car line. So, I'm starting to get the hiccups, damn it. We get in the line, we're going up, and I see these people in neon green shirts. I'm like, okay, this is like probably security or something stopping us for just, you know, checking stuff. I'm like, okay, and I stop, and I'm totally oblivious to what's on their shirt. And they ask us, do you guys smoke? And we're like, no. And you guys don't smoke weed or nothing? We're like, no. They're like, okay, well, we're getting weed catered here. We're just seeing who smokes and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. And I finally start paying attention, and he's got a big-ass marijuana leaf on his shirt. And I drive off, and my friend Caden goes, why'd you stop? I was like, I thought it was security. But then we actually get to security, and oh, it's right here on my desk, too. They said no glass in the festival, and this was sitting right in my cup holder. It's a conductor thing, or whatever it is, I don't know. But it's been in my car for like 2 years, and I haven't taken it out. And she's like, is that glass? It's like, don't let it leave the car. All right. And he throws it in my center console. I was like, well, what's stopping people from bringing contraband in? But as soon as we get through security, I'm not even kidding, not even 5 seconds later, we're all in the car, and I'm rolling forward. My friend Carson is petrified of bees. Hates them. Hates bees. Yellow jacket flies in my car.
Oh, shit.
I don't want to be rude, but Carson is a bigger guy. He's not fat or nothing. He's just big. He's a bit muscular. He's tall. I have never seen that man move so fast in my life. He about jumped in my lap in the front seat because he was in the back. And he about jumps in the front seat, and I'm like, what the hell? And keep in mind, I'm still rolling. I'm coasting. I'm not stopped. And he goes, there's a bee. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do about it? I'm fucking driving. And he goes, well, I don't, just kill it. Like, I can't. So he jumps out of my car while I'm coasting still. Like, I haven't hit the brakes or nothing yet. Wailing and crying like a little girl as soon as we get through security. And I'm thinking, oh God, we're going to get kicked out because he's acting like a madman. So this bee is just flying in the back seat, and I look over at Caden. I'm like, I don't know what he wants me to do. I take my shoe off. Well, I'm still coasting. Take my shoe off. Hand it to Carson. I'm like, kill it. No, I'm good. So he walks beside me, barely closes my door, keep in mind, walks beside me while I'm parking. I park, and I look at the bee. I'm like, okay. And there's a bee that was in there before, but it's shriveled up and dead. Like, it's like the size of like the tip of a pencil. And so the big, big one, apparently, it wasn't all that big. It's still buzzing around in there. You know, middle of the summer on a hot day, I'd leave it in there. So I found it with the other bee, baked and dead. But yeah, it was a good time. There's a so we get done watching all the drifting go by, and it's a bit warm. Oh, I got sunburnt to hell, by the way, the first day. I got toasted. Second day, not too bad. I wore long sleeves, but it was like a light workout shirt, long sleeve thing.
Yeah.
Second day, we're walking around, and we go down one of the, because like the way the festival is set up is you can walk around the pits, like where the drivers work on their cars and stuff, and you can walk around those and, you know, say what's up to everybody. And we're going down this like path road thing that we haven't gone down yet. And we go down it, and there's this guy with a slushy machine. And we're like, okay. And, you know, one of my buddies says that slushies. I was like, oh, I guess so. But we didn't know if it was spiked or not, because there's, you know, 8,000 liquor bottles sitting next to it. And we're like, I don't know, we're just sitting there gawking at it. And the owner of the machine, he's kind of a kooky guy. He's got like a handlebar mustache and a, He's just a kooky guy. He walks up to us and goes, "What are you staring at the machine for?" And we're like, "Well, I don't know." And he goes, "Well, the slushies are free. Even if they're not, they're free." And we're like, "Okay." And so I feel obligated to get one after staring at his machine. And so I go to get one. I sip it, and it tastes fine. I'm like, "Guys, it's good." And so, oh, by the way, best slushie I've ever had. Wasn't spiked. The alcohol was there in case you wanted to spike it.
Okay.
But we're responsible young adults and didn't do that. Plus,
yeah,
some of us had to drive, but that's besides the point.
And you're all underage, so there's that.
Oh, of course, all underage. We would never.
Never
so,
drink underage.
And, you
never,
know, we're sitting there drinking these slushies. Best slushie I've ever had. I'm like, "Guys, I didn't take into account. It could be drugged." It could have, like, CBD or THC drops or something in it. Or acid or something. And we were all like, all of us at the same time, we're just like, well, we've already drank, like, half of it. So we might as well polish it off. It wasn't good thing. But yeah, it was a good time. Some weird folks there. But that only started happening when the music festival was starting. Like the people who only went for the music started showing up. A bunch of weird people, but hey,
yeah,
you know, I won't judge. We're at the same festival. I can't really judge you, but, yeah, it was awesome. I got a bunch of pictures and videos I can send you later, but it was pretty sweet. I got a hat that I got there. I got 3 signed posters by my favorite drivers. Got some pictures with my favorite drivers. It was a good time. My buddies came up, and, you know, even after the festival, we had a good time just goofing around. They all stayed at my house. So it was a good time. And we have an air mattress just like yours. It's a big-ass queen one, and it's tall.
Yeah.
And so we
so you
blew
know what
that
I'm
up.
Talking about.
Yeah.
I said, yeah.
And so we blew that up for one of the guys, and then, And then I had family come up, not even skipping a beat. It was friends, 2 days, family. I had an aunt and uncle come up. I can't go into it on the air. For the sake of some people's humility. But I will say, I have missed my aunt Cheryl, my dear Aunt Cheryl. I love her to death. I have missed her with all my heart, and I'm glad she got to come up. And Uncle John.
Missed him too.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. But, yeah, no, it was fun having them up. And then, they went to the Detroit Zoo. So I've been going to the gym pretty regularly, about every day, for the past, 2 months. 3-ish. 2 regularly, 3 part-time, besides the point. Fitting my clothes. I have an issue fitting in my clothes. So all those awesome clothes I got for Christmas the past, 2 years don't fit. They're cutting my arms off because they're too small. I can't get my pants over my ass. So I had to go clothes shopping for the first time in, 3 years. So that was fun. But so I can't fit my clothes anymore. And I went to a drift event. That's pretty much how my June went. So, it was awesome.
Awesome. Sounds like a better time than I had.
Yeah, well, besides getting crisped up and burnt all to hell. Oh, and I had a PT test that I had to do. And it was a couple of days after I done got sunburnt.
It worked very well, didn't it?
Well, it didn't hurt at all. I was fine. I was already in, the healing process and the peeling stage.
Okay.
there's a swimming part to this PT test. I got in the pool a normal person. I came out of the pool like Freddy Krueger. Just skin falling off my... Good thing it was only on my arms. Just skin falling off my arms and... Ugh. But, yeah, it was a good time.
So I will say this one thing that I forgot to mention. So we're out at Oklahoma. We're out at her, Miss D. May's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So before we went, Miss Angel and I got new phones because it was time. You know, hers was cracking and falling apart. Her fucking screen had like chips out of it.
Yeah.
And mine, like, I had no storage on it. Like, I had no apps on my phone. I couldn't use any apps on my phone. So we went and got new phones. You know, we have the 5G ultra stuff, you know, perfect signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like crisp. It's clear. I can turn my Wi-Fi off and not notice a lag on anything. It's that good.
Mm-hmm.
So we get out to Miss D. May's place. And it's not out in the middle of nowhere. It's literally in the middle of town. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a cell tower that we can see. Right?
Yeah.
Had no service. Had very little service. Like, I could not use the internet. I could make phone calls. I could text. But I couldn't send anything through Messenger. Couldn't get online. Couldn't stream anything. Couldn't do any of that. And she didn't have Wi-Fi. Like, I had... So, Miss Angel's sister lives... She calls her sister. It's like her best friend. Lives out in the middle of nowhere. Literally out in the middle of nowhere. On a farm. And I got better signal out there.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, really, the only place that I could get signal was when we were at Miss D. May's place, was in the bathroom at the far end of the house. So the only time that I could do anything was when I was using the bathroom. Yeah, that was fun. And then we took, So we took Misty May to upgrade her phone because her phone was not working. Because, you know, Sprint changed over to T-Mobile, and you have to have the T-Mobile SIM card and all that. And I tried replacing the SIM card. It wasn't working, so I just went and got her a new phone. That took 4 hours. That's a whole nother story in and of itself.
Damn.
But while we're at the T-Mobile store, my phone automatically connected to their Wi-Fi. Automatically. So here I am on HBO downloading movies. I downloaded like 4 movies so that I could have something to watch when we went back to Miss D. May's place. And I downloaded a couple of games that I could play offline so I had something to do.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh. So at this event that I went to, I was probably that close from completely getting ragdolled by a car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So the way they had the event set up was over here. I know people can't really see this, but they had a part where it was the racetrack and the pits and the field of where everything went down. And over this way, there was the parking. And there's a road that goes right here that you have to cross to, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, you would think at a car festival we could hear a car coming. No. And we looked both ways. Well, that way and that way, and we were already done halfway across the road. And, you know, screw those security people. They would literally watch this car come at me and my group of friends. I didn't say anything, not a warning, nothing. And I can have people vouch for me on this one. This isn't just an exaggerated story. I have witnesses. Alexis, I can. It was a like a bronze cream Lexus SUV hauling ass. It was booking it through there. Normal people would go through there maybe 10, 15 miles an hour. This guy was going about 35, 40.
Jesus.
And we're walking like staggered. So it's like me and then a friend, a friend, a friend, a friend. And he's hauling ass through here. And me and my buddy Carson are closest to it. And one of them looked and they were like, stop, stop, stop. And I was like, okay. So I stopped. And this car goes in the grass to dodge us. Doesn't honk its horn, nothing. Doesn't stop, slow down. No, he keeps going. And we're like, okay. And so there's these two guys off on the side, and they were yelling at us. I thought they were yelling at us, like, what the hell are you doing? And they were like, what the hell was his problem? And I looked behind us. I was like, I don't know. He goes, I saw everything. I was like, that's good to know. I was like, that's good to know. If I would have got absolutely destroyed by that car, I know I have one witness that's not friend or family. But that was fun. Almost getting destroyed by a Lexus SUV. Rest of the day was perfectly fine, though, you know. No incidences yep. with any other cars. You would think at it like a car event, you know, that would have happened. No. No, it happens with a pedestrian driving or a civilian driving a car, not a professional driver.
Well, usually the professional drivers know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, and they, you know, constantly watching out for things.
Yeah.
The civilian.
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. I would have figured at least a brake. Like, we didn't see brake lights or nothing. We didn't hear brakes, nothing.
Damn.
He just kept zooming by. I was like, okay. Well, that happened. Not even 2 minutes later, we were like, you guys want to go do this? And we're like, yeah. It was just like one of those things that happened throughout that day. And, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Cool.
I can't really think of anything else that happened. Oh. Something that didn't happen but is going to happen. This Saturday, the, you know, the airport by my house, it's like the fairground.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they do the fairground stuff. Well, the Air Force Thunderbirds will be doing their air show.
Cool.
I was asked if I wanted to do a swear-in ceremony with the Thunderbirds right before their show. So they're like, okay, yeah, sure. It's nothing official that I was told. It's just a ceremony.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah, sure, why not? So I got 3 free tickets to an air show and a parking pass. So,
hey.
And a free shirt. So, hey, whatever.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've already signed up, guys. You don't got to keep asking me.
Do you want to sign up? I know you've already signed your name, but do you want to sign up? Are you sure this is what you want to do?
Yeah. I mean, hey. If they're going to beat a dead horse and keep giving me stuff, then okay.
I mean,
sure.
Hey, look, something I've learned is that the military is all about giving free, quote-unquote, swag to keep people in, to bring people in, you know, to entice people.
Well, I'll remember this in 4 years when it's time for me to re-up.
Like, where's my money and my backpack?
You know that time they gave me those 3 free tickets to that air show I could have watched from my backyard? Damn, that was pretty sweet. I mean, literally, the airport's like right there. I could watch it from my backyard. They were doing practices today. Shut the shit out of the house and scared the dogs.
There's nothing like being in the area.
Yeah. I didn't have to pay for it. Why not?
I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, why not?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, other than that, my June has been pretty action-packed, yet pretty tame as well. Not too much going on, but a lot going on at the same time. I'm probably forgetting stuff.
Yeah. I can say the same thing. It's been...
Oh, we're forgetting a major detail. We had our final D&D combat.
I was just thinking about that right before we were talking about it, and I was going to bring it up right when the show started.
Yeah?
But yeah. Yeah. So, those of you who don't know, Alex and I are D&D players, D&D nerds. I don't know if we've reached geek level yet.
Yes, we have.
We've reached geek level. Yeah, yeah, we've definitely reached geek level. We're geeks. But
no, I definitely don't have a 6-inch scale figure of my both my characters from this thing.
Yeah, I mean,
we haven't reached geek level yet.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't made I haven't made my own character, and then you made me one of my character.
Yeah, I definitely have it painted or customized for five different characters for this session in 6-inch scale.
No,
we're not geeks yet.
Definitely have it 3D printed, multiple dice, a dice tower, and a figure for people in our D&D.
I definitely don't have a 1-to-1 scale version of my sword in D&D.
Kunai for my next character. No, we haven't reached geek level yet.
No, not yet. I don't have 800 dice sets and one big ass dice and two dice towers. A notebook that's almost filled up for notes from this session.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't look at dice on Amazon and all these other dice places consistently. No, I definitely don't do that.
No, we're not geeks yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
We're not at that level. I don't watch D&D talk on TikTok at all. No,
we don't just religiously play every Friday unless something major comes up. We don't do that.
Right. Constantly planning our next move throughout the
week. We don't text in group chats throughout the week to schedule and plan stuff for our sessions. We're not geeks. We're not at that level yet.
No. So anyway, yeah, like you were saying, so this Friday, this coming up Friday, is the very last session of a campaign that, no shit, has been going on for 5 years. Like, there have been breaks here and there, a month here, 2 months there. I don't even think we've gone 2 months. It's been a month here, a month there. A little bit of a break for the DM.
Recently, we had 3 months off.
We did.
We played in,
right,
well, it was about 2 months. Because we played a session in January, and then we went February, March, and then we picked it back up in April.
That's right. We did. So
that was probably our longest stint besides... The longest stint that I've played, and before I played, I think you guys kind of went off and on here and there with it. It was like a game night thing.
It didn't become serious until probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Where it was religiously every Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So this Friday, we have our... very last session. I'm going to brag a little bit. My character has been there since the very, very beginning. I've had the same character for 5 years, sorry. And I'm happy to say that he has lasted this long.
And why has he lasted this long?
Mainly because of the passion that he's been around.
Yeah, definitely not the only healer in the group that can do cool healing shit. And it's also a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, but
so
it's It's definitely hard to keep a character going that long.
It is.
There's times where people just, like, I've had two characters in this session, and the one didn't even die. It was just kind of, you know, a character just had to be written off. It was one of those things, like in a TV show, where just a character gets written off.
Yeah.
Circumstances and stuff with that character. There was maybe a chance I could have bring him back, but it would have made no sense for his character, and it wouldn't have fit. But then I made my second character, picked right back up on it, kicked. But yeah, keeping a character going that long, either without having him being written off or killed, he technically did die once, but we don't talk about that.
No. He did die, and he was almost ready to stay dead until just literally by the luck of the dice. Literally by the luck of the dice, luck of the roll. That's how he survived.
Yeah, we've had a lot of things in that session like that, or in that campaign like that. You're just something happens, and it's just on the luck of a roll. I found that I roll better without my dice towers. When we came back from our break, I stopped using my dice towers because I kept rolling like fours, fives, nines, and there's cool dice towers, which pisses me off, but I just roll better by hand.
I've noticed that too. I mean, you know, I've got many of files online that I want to do to print up a dice tower, but I roll better without them, honestly.
Yeah, and these past few combats, well, the combat I did on my solo run, I don't know if the DM explained this to you, I fucking kicked ass in my solo run.
Yeah.
I had, keep it simple, I had one boss, and then another boss, and then another boss. I had three that I had to fight at the same time. One of them, I made an NPC take care of, and he did. Another one, an NPC and me took care of it. And then the other one, I took care of by myself. And so I wiped those guys out pretty swiftly. And with the help of the DM, he did throw me a bone. But that's kind of because I needed it. So essentially my powers got taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the Orb of Wish, and he like buffed up the Orb of Wish just a little bit, buffed up my stuff just a little bit. Nothing crazy.
Nah, I mean,
So I did that, and then I had to do another boss fight, which was supposed to be hard as shit. Like, he thought I was going to die. And he did this thing called Meteor Shower, or Meteor Swarm, which I could have done, but I never did in our combat. But it's a ninth level spell, and it calls meteors down. Totally crushed Jethro. Like, that's basically what killed him. And then I dodged out of the way, and I was kind of low on hit points, and then I did Nanite Surge and blah, 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 blah. And then Jethro came over limping, just crawling with himself, you know, basically messed up. And he healed me. And then, you know, that Primal Slash thing I did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the character that I was fighting could do that. And he did it, but Jethro took the shield off my back and jumped in front of me with my shield, cut my shield in half, cut him in half, and it totally took all damage from hitting me. And then I then did that and sliced the guy in half. I did my Primal Slash. Oh, before that, I shot his arm off like I did with Einar. So, yeah. I came out with 73 health out of my 131. I came out with 73 health, so I did pretty good. I mean, I didn't get fucked up that bad. I lost an NPC or five, but I'm not dead. But it was great. I kicked ass. It was awesome. It was my favorite combat of all time. I got to do it with my sword, Rage Keen, beloved Rage Keen. But then I picked up that axe of Asmodeus. That's what gave me my powers, and that's what my character looks like now. Ish. But yeah, and then we had our final combat. Ended up how my combat was, like, the DM was like, oh, I don't know. And then we just fucked everybody up.
That was my final. So, with mine, I had, like, two major bosses, because I had a wizard with me. I had the uncle with me.
Uh-huh.
And so the first one was a boss and a dragon. And we got fucked up, like, to the point I thought we were going to die.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't have any other player MP players with me. Like,
yeah.
Eslin, she had two players, like, two actual players. You guys had two actual players.
Yeah.
And I was all by myself. I was like, well, shit. And then I realized I took the only other healer. And so when the DM made me realize that, I was like, oh, no. I was like, okay, for sure, either Zano or Sirius died. Like, I was like, for sure, one of them are dead, if not both. But no, you guys came back all
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. But our second battle was, like, we kicked ass. Like, our first one was us getting used to each other and used to our new characters. Our second
exactly.
one was like, I've got
yeah.
this now, you're fucked.
Yeah, that's, don't take this the wrong way, because I love doing combats with you guys, but I found when I did them by myself and didn't have to worry about what everybody else was going to do,
yeah.
I performed flawlessly. I was doing, like, you know, a reload. I was
yeah.
doing a reload type damage. I did, he has it tallied up. I did so much damage that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just found that I tended to do better, when I was by myself. And then in our final campaign, it kind of worked out the same way. We all had separate things that we kind of needed to do. Not to,
well, no, I mean, I know what you're saying. We kind of focused,
yeah.
We focused on the ones that we could damage, that we could hurt.
I just
of,
so happened to be able
like,
to damage all of them.
Well, I could too with the primal, because I had, you know, primal damage on my sword.
I did nothing but primal damage,
but,
though. You did too, though, I think. But yeah, all my attacks were nothing but primal damage.
Well, I had some radiant damage with my, you know, core blast.
Yeah.
But
Einar, I can only get primal damage because of my super cool fucking armor. And he was like, well, you could head this. And I was like, okay. I basically shot the Death Star at him.
Pretty much.
Blew off the left side of his body. And then he was like, I'm going to teleport behind you and kill you. Blah. You know, Einar talking shit. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. And he teleports behind me. Hits, misses. I was like, all right. I stood up and just, boom, cut off his right arm, because talking shit about my right arm when he was his own player, took his right arm, came overhead, and split him in half. I was like, okay, on to the next guy, because the next guy stole a gun that could kill you instantly. So that's kind of what held you back, I thought, was that.
From that guy, yeah. Yeah.
And then the uncle paralyzed that guy, so I got nothing but crits on him. And so every attack I did was a crit. And I attacked him three times, and they were all major damage. And so I love the way the DM described that. He was metal. So I stuck my axe in it, and I was just watching. And I closed my fist, and my thing shot him. That was awesome. That
yeah.
was just peak
yeah.
Visualization. And then the final trifecta of us, just Eslin with her. I don't even remember what Eslin did, but Sirius with his, and then me with my primal slash, and you there with your moral support.
I couldn't do anything that would hurt him unless I was right up in front of him.
And that's okay. Everybody had their part to play, and they played their part flawlessly. That's not to say that you didn't do anything in that combat, because you definitely did.
Well, I fucked some people up, yeah. I mean, I incinerated one of the guys.
Yeah, you definitely helped, you killed, you fought, and, you know.
I just couldn't do anything to the final big bad. Like that, nothing
yeah.
like that. But yeah,
but,
so this Friday.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
How he described that.
Yeah. So, and then this Friday, we get to find out, it's like an epilogue. Essentially,
yep.
We get to find out what happens to all of our characters throughout, you know, where they go from here. So
Yeah, I unfortunately won't be in the next campaign. I'm sad about it because I enjoy playing D&D. It's fun. At first, I was like, eh, it's kind of weird. I'm more of a visual kind of person. I love visuals. That's why I hounded on our DM. He probably hates me for it. But I hounded on him about the visuals for stuff. Like, what if you made this character this way? Or I critiqued him so fucking hard about the visuals of everything, especially with my character. I know it frustrated him sometimes. It had to have. But, yeah, I'm just picky about visuals, being able to see what's going on. And that when I first played with my very first character, the bird guy, I was like, eh, I don't know. It was fun, but it's not visual. It was difficult. I didn't quite understand anything. And then, you know, he kind of, on my second character that we made, he kind of worked me through it. And I think it helped that I got to kind of make up some stuff. He let me make up some stuff. And that I could be just a part of his working style. And, like, he told me some more stuff and just, you know, told me things. And I was like, okay, so that's how that works. Okay. And he kind of taught me how to play before I actually played. And so that helped a lot. And then he got way better at describing stuff. Because before it was like, you guys are in a room. In the room, there's a window. What do you do?
What's in the room?
Well, what's in the room? Well, there's a window. Okay. But now he's like, you guys enter a cave. There's etched marble and four villains, and this is what they all look like. He'll send us pictures of what they all look like, and then he'll describe what they're doing and the voices that he does. It just immersion.
Yeah.
Full immersion. And we got better, too. You know, we evolved as players. At first, we were like, I'll do this. You can't do that. Why not? Because this. Okay. And our role play skills were not good at all. But towards the end, we got better. We were even telling the DM, yeah, I'm going to do this, and you can't say nothing about it. And then he'd be like, let me see the spell. Then he'd read it and be like, okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, that does do that. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that does do that. Or we'd ask a question like, so hypothetically, I can do like a 360 spin and like chop him in half and then do the same thing to that guy. We got to roll for it. Okay. And we just go for it. Because there's certain things that we were like scared to do. Like, I don't want to go up to that person and hit them. And now we're just like, you know, battle cry, just ah, and then beating the shit out of people. And, you know, our moral compasses have shifted a bit during the sessions, but
a little bit.
You know, but, some like character bickering that would go on, but it was like perfect. It was exactly what those characters would do. And there would be some times where the DM would be like, "Oh, guys, it's a game. I get we all like playing it and we care for it, but it's a game." And then, you know, sometimes it would extend out of the game. And you'd be like, "No." Nope, it's not going to extend out of the game, guys. We're like, fine. Fuck you, fine. And then eventually we learned, you know, what happens in the game stays in the game. It doesn't come out. And, you know, there'd be times, I remember specifically when your character died, Eslin, Miss Angel's character, got fucking pissed at my character. She was just laying it in, and I'd give it right back. And then at the end of the session, she was like, I didn't make him mad, did I? And I was like, no, I'm good. And so he's like, no, it's just the character. First of all, I don't know if it's role play or not for her, but good for her for keeping in there and not breaking it, because it definitely helped us. Yeah. And it was just that right there. It's like perfect role play, and it was just awesome. I could talk for hours about this campaign. I love it. It's one of my favorite things I've probably done, geek-wise. And I hope the DM listens to the show, because I'm not saying it again, so I will forget what I done said. But he knows. I've been talking to him the past few days about certain stuff. And, yeah, he knows I care for this campaign a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, this campaign has a place, I would probably say, a place in just about everybody's heart.
For sure. I mean, some of my favorite video games are role-playing games. Whatever they are, it's just some of my favorite. My favorite game of all time is Skyrim. That's my favorite game of all time. And so when I got into this, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, this is one of my favorite lore pieces of all time. Like, there's Star Wars, there's DC, and then there's, you know, other things. And then there's this. This is something special, and there's actually lore behind it because I got it sitting on my shelf. And that's got to be the best part, is it's documented.
Yeah.
We can look back on it and be like, yeah, we did do that. And, you know, some people may think, oh, it's just a D&D game. You'll play another one and completely forget about it. Some people, not so much, you know. I don't know what the next D&D game I'm going to play is. This was phenomenal. This is probably one of the best geek things I have ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm actually, like, I've had, like I said, I had Xano for 5 years. And now I'm actually ready to let him go, let him be his own person.
It just feels natural at this point. It's like, okay, it's over. We can let him go now. They've done what they needed to do. I've even gone so far to get my mom into it. It's like, Mom, we just got done doing this, and that. And she's like, okay. It's like, yeah, I took this thing, I jumped on the dragon's head, and then, like, cut it in half, and then I fucking killed it. And she was like, all right. And so when I came downstairs, I was just so drained. I wouldn't say emotionally, just, like, drained after our fight. And I went downstairs. I was like, Mom, we did it. Just, like, in the most calm voice, I was like, Mom, we did it. She was like, did what? I was like, that's our final combat. We're done. There's no more D&D after this. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, good job. I was like, she doesn't understand.
No.
This is just... But then again, she didn't understand why, like, Avengers Infinity War was so important to me, or why the Snyder Cut was so important to me, or why the Batman was... It's just one of those things that is so important to me, and they don't realize it. But just because it's important to me, they care about it.
Right.
And it's awesome. If you haven't played D&D, folks, I highly recommend it. You know, whatever stereotypes you have of it, just throw those out the window. Because there's people out there that play D&D that you'd be like, what? They play D&D? No way. Like that Joe, I can't pronounce his last name. He played that. Yeah, he played. Yeah. It was in Magic Mike, ladies. You know who I'm talking about. That guy plays D&D. That guy. Okay.
Yeah. William Shatner.
And it's
plays
not a
D&D.
It's a nerdy game. Yeah. So what? You do math. Whatever. But when you're sitting here on your laptop with a calculator pulled up and you're putting in 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 8 plus 2 plus 7 plus 7 and you hit enter and it's a big ass number, that's probably the largest dopamine like crash you will ever have. It's like, oh yeah, let's go. I fuck him up. And then when it happens to you, you want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you hear the DM go, whoosh, and just drop 50 dice. You're like, oh, damn. Or when you finally get to roll a D100 after 3 years of being told, yeah, I don't know if you guys will get to a D100 yet. I'm like, a D100. And you finally get to roll a D100. Like, I tell you, if you haven't, it's very satisfying. Especially when the numbers are really high, like an 80 and an 80. That's what I did to Morax. It was pretty cool. But, I recommend it. If you're not good at math, oh, well, use a calculator. I use a calculator. The DM will see me on the camera go counting all my fingers. And, you know, I'm not the quickest with math. I mean, neither is anybody at that table. You know, sometimes we'll be like, can you count that out for me? Or the DM will just tell me the numbers, and he'll crunch them for us.
Yeah.
But
six,
it's fun.
4, 4, 10, 12, 4. What is that? You killed him.
or the most satisfying part is when the DM goes, all right, so how do you want to kill him? Or, all right, so how do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And then he lets you, you know, describe how you're going to do something. Just whatever.
And then he makes it. Okay, I want to cut his head off. Okay, so you see this person, he slices, comes down with his big ass sword across the chest.
There's this red aura with this guttural goo coming off it, and he just swings it back, and he says something, blah, blah, and then he just cuts his head off, and then the blood gets sucked out of his body, and he's dead. Like, stuff
and the
like
head
that.
Rolls around and lands by this person's feet.
Yeah, the key to a good D&D session, though, is a good DM.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you have played D&D and you're like, oh, that sucks, find a different DM and try it again. I mean, if it's really not for you, okay, I won't push it. But any stigma you have for D&D, just because it's called Dungeons & Dragons and there's people with big-ass glasses and look weird that play it sometimes, oh, well. Have you seen half of the NHL players or the NBA players? They look so weird and crooked from all of the stuff they've done over the years, just like working out and stuff. Have you seen professional fighters? Okay, those are some weird people. D&D people aren't that much different. You know, yeah, there's some weirdos. But then there's people like me who are, like, super cool. You know? It's fun. Take one look at me and you're like, nah, that guy doesn't play D&D. My D&D shelf would beg to differ. But it's a fun game. I recommend it.
Yeah. I brag about it all the time at work.
Get a good DM, though. That's number one. If you're not imaginative or creative and can't tell stories, maybe not be a DM. Maybe be a player.
So, one other thing, one big thing that we wanted to talk about on tonight's show that happened in June was the release of Obi.
Yes. Did we want to talk about the other awesome thing that ended in June?
We can do that as well, yeah. Did you want to do that first?
Yeah, I want to save the other thing for last, because I feel like that'll take up more time.
Okay. So, if you guys... Look, I'm going to make this disclaimer now. If you guys don't know that we are both geeks, we're both... If you can't tell by now, just by this one episode where we have spent the past hour and 10 minutes, or basically the past hour, talking about nothing but geek stuff, then you don't know us at all. But
yeah,
we are both Star Wars geeks. Huge, huge Star Wars geeks. Borderline nerds. Yeah, we're borderline Star Wars nerds.
Yeah, I just don't think we're on the same page.
What do you mean?
Are we talking about the Star Wars thing first or the DC thing first?
No. I'm doing an intro. I'm doing an intro into that.
Okay.
Go with me on this. Just go with me. Okay. So, we're both huge Star Wars. We're Star Wars nerds. Because I've literally corrected people and how things were pronounced and what planet and what person and stuff like that. Like, just naturally. Just like, oh, no, that's not pronounced this way. Yeah.
Big Star Wars nerd.
Yeah. June.
Big Star Wars guy.
We're huge Marvel and DC geeks. You're more of a DC geek than I am. I'm more of a Marvel geek than you are.
Yeah, I've recently converted somebody to the DC superiority side, and I'm very happy about it. But continue. I just had to put that out there.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm slowly working my way over there. Slowly working my way more and more into DC.
Come to the legitimate dark side.
Dark side.
Where everything is scary and weird and bloody.
So we watch TV shows and stuff like that. And we have been watching Young Justice separately and together since it came out.
Yeah, I was watching it on Cartoon Network when it was like a Saturday morning cartoon thing, like when it was just on. I was like, oh, okay, Young Justice, sweet.
I started on Netflix when it first came to Netflix. I was like, huh, this is interesting. I need something to pass the time, and really, really got into it. And season 4 ended right at the beginning of June.
Yep.
It was probably, I would say it's probably the longest season they've had because they had a break.
Tied with season 3.
Okay.
I think all of them are about that long, actually. Season 3 and 4 are a couple more episodes longer, but they're all about 20 to 25 episodes.
I would dare to say that season 4 was So the reason why we both like Young Justice so much is, number one, the DC connection, obviously. And because it is, it's an immersive TV show. I've mentioned this many, many times before on the Cinephiles. It grew up with the thoughts about it. It's not the same characters, the same, you know, the doing the same thing every week. It's different. You know, the characters have grown up.
It's like Last Airbender, Avatar, Last Airbender, and Clone Wars. I put all three of those shows on the same pedestal. Like,
yeah,
boom. Great shows, those three.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Airbender, but I agree with you on the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that this season, above all the rest, was number one. It was the most well written.
Yeah, they did a different format this time, but I didn't hate it.
They did, because they had like three different storylines. None of them were connected until they were. If that makes any sense to anybody. Like you had this storyline going on, and then you had this storyline.
They did story arcs. Like they did three episodes dealing with a couple characters, and then they had three more episodes dealing with a couple characters. Like it wasn't like like Stranger Things, where like everybody's doing everything all at once. They focused on Superman and Miss Martian for the first part of the season, and then for part two they focused on Artemis and her issues, and then for part three they did Zatanna and her magical stuff, and then they did Aquaman stuff, and then they did like the finale stuff. Like the Phantom Zone stuff.
Yeah. And there was different, you know, there was different arcs within that. And they'd done that before, but not to that degree.
Yeah.
You know? 'Cause they had five different story arcs in there. They also had the one on New Genesis.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Now, they had like six different story arcs going on. Six or seven. I didn't hate it, though.
I didn't hate it. I didn't, you know, I mean, it was confusing at times because when they took that break, I had to rewatch season four before they came back just to get back up to speed.
Yeah.
But it was probably, I would say it's also the most emotional.
Oh yeah. Spoiler alert. Superboy dies in like the fourth episode, third episode. Totally gets annihilated. And we're like, aw, damn. They killed Superboy. And then they really made us think, oh, shit, they actually did kill Superboy. Like, he's not coming back. Like, Kryptonite bomb? Nah, he's dead. On a planet far away from the sun? Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
And then they did the Zatanna arc, and they threw us a bone. They're like, oh, maybe he's not dead. I told you this, because I was down there when we watched this. And I was like, what if Superboy's in the Phantom Zone? Lo and behold, I called that motherfucker right on the nose.
Yeah,
I was like, Superboy's in the Phantom Zone. As soon as that episode ended, I looked straight to you. I was like, Superboy's in the Phantom Zone. Sure enough, Superboy was in the goddamn Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Call me a wizard.
DC geekdom.
Hey.
That's what it is.
Yeah, especially when they introduced the General Zod part, I was like, really? I was right. My ego was on another level that day. I was walking around like my shit didn't stink. I was like, yeah, I called that. And my parents were like, what? Who cares? What's the Phantom Zone? It's like, you wouldn't understand. I'm just cool. Just cool like that.
I will say, though, that watching the episodes and when they would end on the big cliffhangers, I'd just be sitting there staring at the TV like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And Miss Angel's looking at me like, what? I'm like, they Superboy. She's like, Superboy?
Just the episode ends and you just, what? no words coming out of your mouth. You're just like, what's the matter? Fucking Superboy! You're just like,
literally the only thing I said.
And what about Superboy?
Yeah.
What about Superboy? Kryptonite.
Bomb! No!
Not Miss Martian. No, they made the love arc and everything. What the fuck? Beast Boy is depressed now and taking drugs. What the shit?
Like, dude, get your fucking shit together.
Yeah, I don't like what that's what my main complaint about this season. I don't like what they did with Beast Boy this season. I know why they did it.
I wish we would have had
a Superboy and Garfield interaction. So we didn't really get that. It's just him holding his dog and his girlfriend breaking up with him. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So is Beast Boy, not to offend anybody, but is Beast Boy just gonna act like a little bitch now? He's a goddamn superhero. I know that was like their emphasis that whole time was, well, superheroes have feelings too. Right, but maybe not go that far with it. I get he's a teenager, but,
yeah,
you know, it's supposed to be fictional. They're supposed to have fictional feelings sometimes, and to a certain extent, it is an animated series. I wish they would have just made Beast Boy bounce back. I was waiting for his bounce back, but
they did it.
He went to a grief counseling session with a dog, and that was his arc plateaued from there. I was like, oh well, they kind of. It's almost like they forgot about Beast Boy. Like, I feel like Beast Boy, knowing the people who killed his brother, basically. I feel like he would have been pissed and, like, been all over that. No, he just sat at home with his dog.
Yeah. They did take that, I don't want to say too far, because that makes me sound insensitive.
It's a very realistic representation of what something like that can happen, you know, grieving, losing somebody close to you. But Beast Boy's not that, for the lack of a better word, sensitive.
No. I mean, he's lost friends before. I mean, they're superheroes. They've lost people before, you know?
Yeah, if you would have handled it like Nightwing and Artemis did, it would have been fine. I don't know. It was weird.
It drug out and was really heavily focused. And I get why they're doing it. I get why,
They focused a lot on it and then totally gave up on it.
Yeah.
Within an episode, I was like, what? Okay, whatever. I'm glad I don't got to see it no more, because it was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
It just flipped in my brain. When the team was in the Phantom Zone, and they were by the gate, right, or by the wormhole, and they looked at Nightwing, and they're like, we got to do something. And Nightwing just goes in front of them and goes, you shall not pass. And they're like, you've been wanting to say that one for a while. And he's like, yeah, I have. It's very, very Nightwing Dick Grayson thing to do. And fucking loved it. You shall not pass. And that, all the Kryptonians just looked at him like, huh? Okay.
You fucking retarded or something?
What's your issue? we won't pass? And the way he faked his death, I was like, ah. Are you kidding me? They're just getting rid of everybody now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I was so really mad. I was like, oh, come on.
You can't.
And then he.
You can't do it. That was another one of those.
Come on.
Nightwing.
Nightwing.
And just blood. No.
Blood, a head injury. He's dead. He's a human. He's flesh. He's not Superman. He is a squishy person. He's very squishy.
He's squishy.
when you hit with something real hard, we squish pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. And he was squished.
Oh, yeah. He got squished pretty hard. But, you know, he pulled a Batman and was just like, blood.
Blood. Squirt. Little ketchup packet.
Blood. Lower heart rate to a deathly manner.
Right? I'm going to slow my heart rate down.
Oh yeah, you can read and see what my heartbeat and see if I'm breathing or not. Batman. Batman training.
Stop heart.
Possum. He literally possum. He hit that statue hard as shit. He hit it was like boom, possum.
There was a couple of moments like that though in there.
I love the
like,
way they
the
wrote
fuck?
His character.
And then he comes
I
back
love
and you're
the
like,
way they did that.
Really, really possum, really dick, possum.
And then the way they looped everything back, like when the bomb went off and General Zod's son died, and that's the shadow or the ashes they saw on Mars instead of Superboy's. That was
phenomenal.
Seeing that made me realize, oh, so the dude that was in the Mobius chair was, like, chilling. He didn't really care what was going on. He knew everything was okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, okay, well.
That was kind of badass what he did, though. The dude in the Mobius chair, he's like, no, you're going over here. And you go bye-bye.
Yeah. Did you see the after credit scene in the last episode?
I don't remember.
There was a Marvel-style after-credit scene in the last episode with Darkseid.
I think so, yes, because I always fast-forward because they always have...
They, with the Supergirl.
Yep.
I think they called her Black Mary.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they called her. I'm glad they brought her character back, and I'm glad they're introducing Supergirl. I feel like that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited for season 5.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad they set that up. I just don't know when this show's going to end. Because it seems like it's not going to be like a Clone Wars style where it goes 7 seasons. I honestly thought season 3 was going to be it. And then they renewed it for season 4. And now clearly they have either bookended it for season 4 on a happy ending, or they have room to extend it for a season 5. They are doing San Diego Comic-Con this week, well, sometime this month, where I believe they'll be announcing stuff like that. But DC also has, like, their yearly DC Universe live stream where they announce stuff. So we'll see. Titan season 4 is coming up. A lot of exciting stuff coming up. But yeah, Young Justice season 4, I can't complain too much about it. I mean, it had some weird parts in it that I was like, okay, whatever. And then there were some parts in it that I was like, hell yeah, that's fucking awesome. But for the most part, it was great show, great season. Not a bad season so far for Young Justice.
It was really,
which
really
is
good.
Scary for a TV show to not have a bad season. Because, like, the first couple seasons of The Clone Wars were like, okay, it's for kids. I guess you could argue that with this show. Like, season 1 was for kids. But, I mean, it still had, like, that teenage mature part to it. Season 2 was completely teenage mature. Like, they dealt with the death of a friend, and they're all grown up now. And then season 3, same way. And they even showed violence in season 3 and 4.
They showed a lot more gore in season 4.
I
know that rhymes. But, again, it's one of those things that I love about this series, and the same thing with Clone Wars, is that it evolved and grew with its original target audience, because it's original.
Yeah.
So Young Justice original target audience was your generation, was your age.
Yeah.
You know, and it literally grew up with you. You know, you were roughly the same age as Robin when in season 1, and now Dick Grayson, you know, and it's the same thing with Clone Wars. Clone Wars grew with its target audience, its original target audience. And it while these shows will bring in, you know, like the older generation like me, like I love Justice, you know, but the first season was not geared towards me. It's a little immature for me, but I get past it because I know what they're doing. You know, same thing with like Clone Wars season, you know, 1 through 3. And then finally Ahsoka grows up and she's this teenager. Same thing with Young Justice. But that's one of the brilliant things about these shows is that they're not one-offs every week. There's a continuing storyline. There's growth, there's maturity, there's adaptation. And that's one of the brilliant, brilliant things about Cartoon Network in the beginning and DC. And now, you know, to a lesser extent, Marvel. But DC is that, you know, it's the same thing with Titans. You know, Titans started off kind of low-key. I mean, it showed what it was going to be. It's a TVMA.
It was a very grounded and, I wouldn't say realistic, but it was a very grounded show.
Yeah.
And then it evolved, you know, kind of like Young Justice. It kind of just took off.
And that's one of the brilliant things about DC is they know who their target audience is and they stick to their target audience. Their target audience, first and foremost, is DC fans. And then it's, you know, whatever the show is. Like with Young Justice, it was younger kids. Hey, let's bring these, because we've got, you know, Teen Titans over here on Cartoon Network. Let's do something a little more mature, but something that's going to appeal to the kids, and we'll have it grow with them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the brilliant things about DC, you know, is that they know who their target audience is, 100%.
They know who they're writing for. And, the live action movies so far, but you know, it takes time. But
it's great. Marvel struggles with that a little bit. Case in point, the show Ms. Marvel. I know you haven't seen it. I've watched the episodes. It's not bad, but it's a little on the immature side. It's geared towards teenage girls, is what the main demographic is teenage girls. And then Marvel fans are secondary to that. I watched the storyline. When I watched the first episode, I was like, this isn't going to be great. One of the things that I do love about it, and this is just me personally, is I don't want this to be in a bad way, but the hyper-inclusion of her nationality, culture. And when I say hyper-inclusion, I don't mean that in a negative way. I love how they focus on, you know, the Pakistani and Indian divide. There's a lot of the partition in there. If you don't know what the partition is, that's when the British essentially left India, left into their when India and Pakistan split, if I remember correctly. And there's a lot of that in there. There's a lot of history of that in there, and there's a lot of that culture, and I love other cultures. I really do. Around the world and stuff like that. That's how I grew up. I grew up in different cultures, and I really love it. And that's one thing that I love about the show is the hyper-inclusion of the culture. It's not whitewashed. It's not, oh, well, you know, she's Pakistani. Here's a little bit of it at home. No, it's immersed in the TV show. It's what the TV show is about, you know, her being Pakistani, being a Pakistani American, trying to struggle with that, and with superpowers, and being a teenager, you know.
Yeah, I know the actress who plays Ms. Marvel, super into the comics, super into Marvel comics.
Yeah, she loves Captain Marvel. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly who her character is in the comics. Like, if you're not going to like her show because of, you think, oh, they're just throwing this and shove it in our faces and blah, blah, blah. No, that's literally who Miss Marvel is in the comics, is a little Pakistani girl. Her powers are way different. Her powers are completely different.
Yeah.
But, you know, who she is isn't.
Yeah, her person and her superhero, everything is spot on except for the powers. The powers are different, like you said.
Yeah.
So, but it's not a bad show.
But that's okay. People's powers changed in the MCU before, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
So, it's not a bad show. I would recommend it as just one of those, yeah, I kind of want to watch it. It's, you know, kind of a relief from the other Marvel stuff that we've had, where it's a lot of the past Marvel movies have been like dark.
Yeah.
We look at Multiverse of Madness, which I believe we're going to be reviewing on Sunday. You know, it's really dark. And it's a nice breath of fresh air for the MCU. It's just kind of a fun show to watch, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So,
alrighty.
Speaking of Disney and their shows and a fun show to watch, debuted at the end of May. First two episodes dropped right at the last week of May and went through June and ended last week. If I'm not mistaken.
Great show. Largest Disney Plus premiere for a show ever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising, but...
I got a few
complaints about the show. Not about the show, but about the people who watched the show.
Okay.
So, I've been seeing a lot of reviews. You know, I don't care for reviews. A lot of reviews, and even my own circle of people, think this show is just okay. They won't tell me why. They're like, it's okay. Well, why? It's just okay. I know why they think it was just okay. And I get it. The entire series is not a 5 out of 10, and people know it. It's not a 5 out of 10 show.
It's not.
You're being a whiny little bitch because something didn't go your way and now being review bombed. It's at minimum that you could get mad about it is a 7 out of 10. That's reasonable. But 5 out of 10, 50%. 50% of the show was okay and the rest of it was bad. No. You see, here's the thing. Obi-Wan was fucking phenomenal. Darth Vader was fucking phenomenal. The other lady, I can't remember her name, but she was the officer lady and she blew herself up. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Leia, fucking phenomenal. Reva, fucking phenomenal. I don't care what you say. That was a good character. Besides how they ended her arc. She should have died. I'm not just saying that because she's stupid. No, she should have died. She definitely should have. That would have been the perfect... That was in the perfect arc for her character. She went at the temple. She probably should have died because she was a child and not that in tune with the Force and got stabbed in the chest. But, okay, one lightsaber stab, all right. And then she grows up and is an Inquisitor to kill Vader. And then she has her final showdown, what should have been her final showdown with Vader.
I lost you. can't hear you. Are you able to hear me? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, give us just a second. We're having some technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
Drifting down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight.
You there?
Hello?
Okay, now we're back on.
Right, well, thanks, Blog Talk, for kicking me off. Wouldn't be a show without Blog Talk.
Fucking up
shit up. Anyway, I don't remember the last thing was heard, but... she gets stabbed in the stomach as a child. She comes back, survives that somehow, but okay. She comes back as this Inquisitor. Every episode until the finale, she was perfect. She was this menacing Inquisitor, and even her motivations, and even that fight with Vader was amazing. But in my opinion, that should have been her final fight with Vader, and that should have been it. Now, they may have kept her alive because they wanted to do further stories with her. That's not what that should have been. It shouldn't have been a way to introduce a new character. That's not what this show should have been. She should have fought. She should have got stabbed by Vader. And that episode should not have ended with her picking up that comms thing and seeing the Tatooine stuff. I'm sorry, that might be a unpopular opinion, but I think she should have died in that episode. And I think that would have been a good tie up a loose end on Vader's behalf, because now it's seeming like Vader can't kill anybody. It would have made sense lore-wise. First of all, she got stabbed in the stomach. That's the thing that kind of irritates me about this show, is Disney's really not knowing how lightsabers are working. No, they can't just cut through everything like butter, but they can, sort of. I get the stormtrooper thing when the lights went out. It can be arguable, though, because that's armor. That's not plastic. That's armor. Just because you can cut through stormtroopers in the Force Unleashed games doesn't mean it's how things work. That's armor. And even in episode 5, Luke booped Vader on the shoulder with a lightsaber and it didn't do anything. So quit your bitching about that scene. But the stabbing in the chest and then everybody just living from a stab wound is kind of getting annoying. And then I just felt like in the finale, it was the Vader and Obi-Wan showdown that was fucking awesome. The Reva on Tatooine kind of took away from that. It was kind of just didn't need to be a thing. I feel like that whole episode could have been more focused on the Anakin and Vader situation and then returning Leia back to Alderaan and then Obi-Wan then coming home. It still could have ended the same way. If the Reva thing didn't happen and Obi-Wan showed up the same way he did, it still would have fit. Like, do you want to meet him? Well, yeah, sure. It still would have fit and worked. I just think the Reva stuff, I don't know. Perfect for the first 5 episodes. Episode 6, I don't think she should have been in it. But
so here's my take on all that. So... first off, I did love the series. I was a little taken aback that it was, at first, Obi-Wan going to find Leia, because that didn't make sense.
Yeah, I was a bit, I wasn't too big a fan of that at first.
But, I mean, it worked with the story.
Yeah, I mean, watching the first episode, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go. And well, then episode two, I was like, oh. So they just forgot about the lore of Obi-Wan being on the desert for 20 years. But then, you know, the rest of the episodes came out, and I was like, okay, it makes more sense. Why wouldn't
I mean,
it, why wouldn't it
yeah.
make sense for Obi-Wan to go out and do stuff like that?
Yeah. But so here's my thing with the final episode. After the Vader and Obi-Wan fight, that fight was an emotional gut punch, period.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. It was phenomenal.
That fucking, you know, second. But it was an emotional gut punch. So here's my take on the final Tatooine scene. Number one, I think they put it in there to show that, you know, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru are literally, will literally do anything for this child.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If they wanted Reva to live, quit making people survive lightsaber attacks. Like these,
I agree with
that. It's making them seem like they're baseball bats. Like you can get whacked on the head with one. Oh, I'm good. No, that's not how that works. Not every Sith can just come back from the dead. Darth Maul did it once, and it was cool. It was, oh, that guy's too pissed to die. But now that the Inquisitor's too mad to die, and a fucking 9-year-old child is too mad to die, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's not how that... Like, maybe have Vader force choke her and, like, throw her around a little bit. I feel like that would have been more believable, because, like...
That would have been,
maybe he didn't quite get the job done. But literally, boom, stabbed in the chest by lightsabers.
Yeah.
I know there's, like, major organs right there, and the whole Qui-Gon thing of, well, Qui-Gon got stabbed in the chest, why didn't he live? Well, where he got stabbed was, you know, major organ, severed spinal cord.
Yeah.
Kind of can't come back from that. And he's just not that in tune with the dark. If they notice, it's only the dark side people coming back from this.
Yeah.
Light side people, they get cut up and stabbed, and they're like, ah, okay, I'm dead. It's not that they're weak. It's just that's how they learn. That's just how things go. Dark side people anymore just seems like they're too... Palpatine, he just won't die. Vader, he got literally lit on fire on Mustafar. Okay, that makes sense. The Palpatine one doesn't. But the Vader one makes sense. The Maul one doesn't make sense at all. It's still cool, though.
Yeah.
But Reva and the Grand Inquisitor are not Maul and Vader. These are basic people.
Not Sith. There's a big difference.
Yeah, they're just not that powerful.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're making every Force user out to be more powerful than the last.
Yeah. So,
like, the theory that is kind of going around is they'll make a Reva spinoff series, which I kind of hope they don't, because it's not needed. We don't need that character's story anymore. Like, leave it the fuck alone. Like, we don't need an Andor series. We don't need a Wicket series. We don't need some of these series.
Right.
Focus on other stuff. Put the money, quality over quantity.
Yeah. One of the things I did like about that scene was the redemption. You know, because that's what Obi-Wan does. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's and I liked that they that Reva was redeemed. You know, that she was brought back to the light before she was killed or anything like that. And
yeah.
I think that's...
Definitely doesn't ruin the show and make it a 5 out of 10.
No.
That's not how it is.
I loved her. I loved her character. I loved the actress.
She was a good written character.
She portrayed.
And I don't... I guess...
She took that role and ran with it.
Yeah, I don't get why people don't like her. I know the whole... Well, people are racist. They don't like how she's black.
I didn't even care. Honestly,
yeah, I don't.
I mean, I don't get
that.
And I don't mean to sound, you know, typical, but when she was playing that character, I saw Reva. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it wasn't, I mean, a black actress playing this character. She played that character spot on.
If you're going to get mad at Reva, you got to get mad at Mace Windu, the only other black person in Star Wars. So, boom, there
Lando
you go.
Calrissian.
Well, yeah.
You got Lando.
You got to get mad at Lando, too, and then Finn. So,
yeah.
if you don't like Reva because she's black, then I'm going to go ahead and assume you don't like one of the best characters in Star Wars, that being Lando, Finn, and Mace Windu. You're just stupid.
Look, if you're mad, if
you're nitpicking
if
at
you're
that
mad,
point, I don't like
yeah.
her. Why don't you like her?
Because
she's a woman and
so
she's annoying
many.
And she's black. What? That doesn't make sense. She's a good written character. She's menacing. She's mean. She's fierce.
And she was a great actress. I mean, the actress,
this
I don't
this
remember
isn't,
her name. But
this isn't a race situation that's going on here, guys. This is a... They made a good character. Quit fucking it up like you did with Anakin. Like,
right.
Oh, you didn't like Padawan Anakin? And that poor man has got shit all of his life for it? And now all of a sudden you love him? Like, come on now. Come on. This is not going to be another Hayden Christensen incident. All right? She did good.
She did. But one of the things that kind of bothered me with that scene was, I mean, I like the fact that Owen was like, do you want to meet him? I love that, you know, because it, you know, it brought that emotional attachment for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, it showed growth.
Yeah. But when you look at episode 4, like, leave him alone, stay away from him. Like he was in the first episode.
Yeah, I think it was more of a, what's it called? I'm going to say reward, but like, hey, you showed dedication to help us. The least I can do is let you meet him. I still think Owen is how he is. I don't think that there's going to be mutual meetings between Luke and stuff like that. I don't think that's how that is. I think it was just like Aunt Beru being like, you quit being an asshole and let him meet the damn boy sort of thing. Like, Aunt Beru definitely chewed him out and was like, listen here, fucker. Let him meet the damn boy just once and you'll leave us alone. And Owen was like, fine. I don't want to sleep on the couch. And so you can even tell Owen was like, you want to meet him? And Obi-Wan's like,
yeah.
Well, yes, I do. I still think he has that resentment, though, of... You're going to fuck it up if you train him, sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I can kind of see that, because he did have that, you know, like you trained his father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't think Owen likes him all that much.
No.
But, you know, if they do, I kind of hope they don't do a season 2. I thought this was a nice bookend. Boom, it's done.
I would... If I'm not mistaken, I think season 2 is already confirmed.
Mm.
I don't know
what
computers think.
What can they do?
I don't know.
I mean, Obi-Wan's supposed to be reclused on Tatooine this whole time, and he's just going off willy-nilly doing whatever he wants all these years. I don't know. That's kind of irritating if they do a season 2. If they do a season 2, I think they should focus on Obi-Wan being on Tatooine more. Like, just on Tatooine, training, communicating with Yoda, communicating with Qui-Gon. And, you know...
There's a lot of hope for season 2, but nothing confirmed, you know, nothing officially confirmed yet.
Yeah, I don't... They kind of closed it off as a limited series type of thing.
Yeah.
And they've been labeling it as a limited series this whole time.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great show. I loved it. I thought it was better than Book of Boba Fett. Not as good as Mandalorian. I mean, that show's like a 10 out of 10 most of the time.
It was better than Book of Boba Fett. Not as good as Mandalorian. Still way above Solo and Rogue One.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, this was good.
So.
This was good.
But unfortunately, we are down to the last couple minutes of our show. So yeah, I do want to thank Alex, because I mean, we could go on for hours and hours about this, and Alex and I probably will over text. I do want to thank Alex for joining me tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
It's good to be back on the air. I've really missed it over this past month. It feels weird when we're not on the air, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, feels good to be back on the air. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. We greatly do appreciate all of it. We do love you guys. Again, get the word out. You know, if you like what you hear, you know, bring a friend with you. You know, put us on speaker. Whatever you got to do. Really quick, 4th of July is coming up next Monday. You know, please be safe if you're going to light off fireworks. Don't drink and drive.
And don't light them off beforehand. That's just a dick move.
Right, and don't light them off after. Don't light them off the day after. Blow them all up at the same time. Just because everybody's expecting it. Be courteous of, you know, animals and stuff like that.
If you have animals, I'm sorry, but shit happens.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's going to be...
My animals are terrified of them. You know, we're not fans of them up here, but hey, it'll be all right.
It's going to be interesting with our new puppy this year. We'll have to see how that goes.
Benadryl, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably how it's going to have to go. Support the veterans, fire, police, and EMS. As always, please, especially this coming up weekend, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we were broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Fallen from Grace podcast, which is currently on hiatus. Every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles. And every Friday night for Note by Note. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Love you guys, yep. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Yep. Good night, everybody.